The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How does God lead a Fulbright scholar who lived in Bangladesh to research educational programs of the landless poor, to become president of one of the world's premier Christian universities? Well, this is the story of Barry Corey, a story of one who loves kindness, who came from a heritage of kindness. Well, we pause here at the beginning of our show to remind you, speaking of kindness, that the reason we have the Good Life Radio program, dear friend, is to lead you closer and closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, for you to know that there is always hope, no matter what you're facing, what you're going through right now. There is always hope in Jesus who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today reaches out to you and calls you. And it's our prayer and our hope that you would respond to the Lord. If you don't know him, that you would open your heart and receive him as your Savior and Lord. Turn from your way and follow Jesus. And if you already know the Lord, well, we believe today's program will be an inspiration to you. Dr. Barry Corey became the 8th president of Biola University in 2007. A Massachusetts native, he came to Biola from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. He's the author of Make the Most of It, A Guide to Loving Your College Years, and Love Kindness, Discover the Power of Forgotten Christian Virtue. Well, that book was published in 2016, Make the Most of It in 2020. Dr. Corey and his wife, Paula, have a daughter, 2 sons, and a daughter-in-law. Dr. Corey, welcome, or I should say, welcome back to our show.
Great, Danny, Lonnie, thank you for being so hospitable and kind to me, this college president here in Southern California that thinks the world of the work that you're doing, and here's a lot of stories along the way when your name comes up about the effective ministry that God's called you to, and certainly proud, Danny, to have you as one of our alumni, and so honored to be on your show today. I really mean it.
Well, you came out here to Boston, and the honor of spending time with you, the grace of God on you. I've got fresh memories, Dr. Corey, about our breakfast there near Boston Common. You mentioned your father, Hugh Corey, and you mentioned Park Street Church, the historic Park Street Church. What kind of relationship did you have with your father?
Thank you for asking. Relationships with your parents are so formative, aren't they, in how we live out our life? And, you know, my father wasn't a perfect man, of course, nor my mother, but my father did some things really well and modeled for me what I felt was an important legacy that he invested in my life. There wasn't a person my father met that he didn't feel like God ordained that person to meet him for a reason. And so my father would, in awkward ways for me as a boy, he would, you know, get out of his car when the Islamic gas station attendant was filling up the Pontiac Bonneville with petrol, and my father would talk to him and then give him a hug, and I'd slink down in the back seat thinking, like, that's like weird. Dads don't do things like that. He would go to the cobbler, this old Armenian man with like knotty knuckles and shoe polish on his fingers, and my father would say, hey, can I pray for you, sir? And my father would reach across the counter and grasp the man's hands and pray, and I'd stand there at the door praying too that no one would come in and and see these two people praying with each other. And one time he had the audacity to go up to Reuben. Reuben was the local furniture merchant in Worcester, Massachusetts, where we were nearby where we lived. And my father, you know, got to know him, you know, off and on over the years. And one time he just had that compelling desire to just let him know that he was loved. And so he took Reuben's face in his hand and he said, Reuben, I love you. And I was going like, oh, you know, dads aren't supposed to do things like that. And I wanted to run out of the store and hide. And it was, you know, it was awkward for me as a child. And there are many stories where my father was not received very well when he extended Christ's love to others, and it didn't seem to faze him. And I saw him get the cold shoulder or the rejection or somebody turning and walking away or a rude comment, and, you know, nonplussed. My father would continue on, and just, you know, the next person he came in contact with, he'd do the same thing, Danny and Lonnie. And I watched this over and over again, like a repeating video clip when I was a boy. And then fast forward, you mentioned that I had spent a year in Bangladesh and working there as a researcher. And it was during that year that my father came by to visit just for a few days. He had been in India with some missionaries, was going to Singapore, and stopped by. It was during the first Gulf War, and we were kind of supposed to stay close to my home where I was living. And we went for a walk this one particular morning. I'll never forget it. And if you can imagine the squalor and the fetid streets and the rickshaws and beggars and crowds and people foraging for food in dumpsters, just the desperation in so many people's lives. And I was trying to make sense of it all as a graduate student living in Southeast Asia. And as we walked this one particular morning, my dad turned to me and he said, there's something that I continue to think about in what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. And I knew a little bit about that chapter because that's where Jesus says, if anyone wants to, you know, be my disciple, you pick up your cross and you follow me. And thought maybe that's where he was going, but it wasn't. He said, you know, there's that part about the cross, which I think is really important. But right after that, Jesus says to his disciples, whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. And he said this, and this is what I will never forget. He said, I don't fully understand what Jesus means, but this I do know, that whoever comes across my path, I have to make myself receivable to them. For how will they ever receive the grace of God or the love of Christ unless they receive me first? And it was at that point that was like my life flashed before my eyes, and I remember him hugging the Islamic gas station attendant, praying with the Armenian cobbler, holding Reuben's face in his hands and telling him he loved him, that my father wasn't being weird. He was being receivable. And I'll end with this. He said that Jesus never said you would be received. He said, you just need to make yourself receivable. And that's what I've thought a lot about in life, in a time when it's easy for us to be kind to others if they're kind back to us or if they think more highly of us. But the radical calling of kindness, you know, Micah 6:8, to do justice, to love kindness, and to live humbly, is that we are kind to others, not in order to be appreciated, but in order to be faithful. And that's how my father lived his life and died 23 years ago. And if you go to his gravestone in Peabody, Massachusetts, you'll see on there, Reverend Hugh Corey, 1922 to 1998. Underneath there it says, Matthew 10:40, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. That is the legacy more than any other, Danny and Lonnie, that my father left on my life.
And the way you share it, and the way you wrote about it in Love Kindness was just compelling. And heart touching. Thank you so much for that. I've enjoyed reading your books, Dr. Corey. I've learned not only more about you, but why and how God has prepared you for the work that you do, the work that you've been doing. Yes, indeed, I am a proud graduate of Biola, and the Lord has used you to do a remarkable work in your leadership. For over a decade. When we come back, I'd like to spend a little bit of time, or maybe more than a little bit of time, talking about your book, Make the Most of It, A Guide to Loving Your College Years. When we met last, you were talking about the writing process. I'd like to gain more insights on that. You're listening to Dr. Barry Corey. Dr. Corey is the president of Biola University. Under his leadership, Biola created four new academic schools, transforming the university to flourish for decades to come. His writing has been featured in publications like The Washington Post, The National Review, Relevant, and Converge, and other outlets. Dr. Barry Corey, find out more at biola.edu. More with him when we come back. Stay with us.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening. listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Danny Yamashiro here with Lani Ka'a. Thank you for joining us today. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. Dr. Barry Corey, the seventh president of Biola University, joins us. Hey, look, if you're tuning in right now, or maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, you can get this program in its entirety. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. If you'd like to find out more about Dr. Barry Corey and Biola, well, that's easy. Just go to biola.edu, biola.edu. Dr. Corey, in your book, Make the Most of It, A Guide to Loving Your College Years, you refer to Harvard and Yale professors who say college education should be more concerned about the why of life more than the what of life. So how did their insights impact your perceptions?
Right. So, you know, not far from where you are right now, Danny, there in Boston is, you know, Harvard. And one of their recent deans, by the name of Harry Lewis, wrote a book called Education Without a Soul. And in it, he reflected on how colleges and universities can sometimes lose their essence of what they are as an academy of thought because of you know, turf wars with faculty and pragmatic decisions being made. And he gave the example of, you know, if you put 30 faculty members in a room, maybe at his institution, and you said, what does the ideal graduate of our college or university look like? And you'd come up with 30 different answers. And that has, you know, certainly been on my mind in my 14 years here at Biola University, because we do have an idea of what we want our students to graduate. We don't want them to graduate just to get a job, but really to flourish as Christians in the complexities of our world. We want our students to know and live and love God's word. We want them to be thought leaders and be able to grapple with big ideas in ways that are faithful to our historic Christian faith. We want them to be disciples, becoming more like Jesus in conduct and character. We want them to be able to graduate from Biola, making a difference in the vocations, very well prepared for them that God has called them to. We want them certainly to understand what it means to be in community. And we want them to live the virtuous life, the life that Christ has called them to, and to live into those virtues that, the way God intended things to be, not just the in vogue ideologies or whatever is the kind of the popular ism of our day, but live into the way God intended things to be, with their character, with their relationships, with their families, with their sexuality. With their minds, with their hearts, with their vocations, and that there is something transcendent that's much deeper than whatever the kind of the popular idea is that might be raging within universities, that we can be countercultural, we can be different than that. And so that's why I got into higher education like a long time ago, and that's why I came to Biola, because I saw this as a university that did this well, that we know what our graduates look like. And so, you know, I mentioned a book by Anthony Kroenman at Yale and Harry Lewis at Harvard, and certainly others as well, that have lamented the fact that sometimes colleges and universities are so wrapped up in current trends of thought and cultural movements that they lose the essence of who they really are. And I want to be part of a college or university that we know who we are, that we have not lost our soul, and that our students come here and graduate from here really prepared to be the citizens globally that God has called them to be. So that's a little bit of the background of where I, saw some of the challenges and really the background of why I wrote the book.
Dr. Berry, this Corey, this is Lonnie. So interested in what you're saying. I happen to have two sons that are very near to Biola University, attending Concordia University, and similarly, I understand that passion because college anymore, and maybe it's always been this way, and it's just become more evident that the campuses, the universities, shape our generations. They have a much greater impact than I think we've ever really realized in the past, maybe. And yet what you're saying is really speaking to the generation, not only that is attending college, but us parents who are helping that generation get through college as well. You talk a bit about, the virtues and the shaping of the heart and the spirit of the college student. Why is humility vital to living in a world that's becoming so globalized?
Right. And I that's a wonderful question, Lonnie. And I put the language like this. And I hear at Biola, and when I talk to students, I said, you need to live your life with what I refer to as a firm center and soft edges. Mm-hmm. And by firm center, I just like continue to strive towards truth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth that we see through God's revealed word and through his general revelation in the world today. And what is really true? And don't be so quick to buy into fashionable ideas just because they're popular. Like, think about them. Paul says, whatever is right and good and noble and trustworthy, think about these things. Like, really think about them. And I see too often that sometimes this generation, they're quick to really buy into impassioned ignorance, where they just get behind an idea because that's the popular idea. But what is really true? And so that's the firm center. And certainly we understand God's truth revealed through his word as a primary source of authority in how we are to live our lives. And so that needs to be said. But to your question, Lonnie, I also believe that what the world needs to see is not only our firm centers, but our soft edges, that we lead with humility, to your point, that we lead with kindness, that we lead with, what I said earlier, making ourselves receivable, hospitality, listening to those who have different perspectives than we do, listening while wanting to learn, not just listening while waiting to respond. And there really is a difference between the two, and that we have a gentleness of spirit. And I think that if you don't get these right, sometimes you can have firm centers, which are good, just deep sense of convictions, but then you have hard edges, and you just kind of go after the other side, and you want to knock them down and beat them up and take them over and prove how wrong they are, and that's firm center and hard edges, and that's not what we're called. Or on the other hand, you could have, soft edges and then a spongy center. Well, what do you believe? Well, whatever's good for me is good for me, good for you is good for you, and like that goes nowhere. That's not what we're called to be as God's daughters and sons. We're really called to stand for something, something that is true and noble and again, as I said earlier, that it's transcendent. So that's why I think humility is one of the ways in which we live out grace, right? Yeah. We do it by not thinking of ourselves too proudly, caring more about what is right than our own pedestals. And this idea of firm center and soft edges, it's not like my bumper sticker language. It's really the gospel. Jesus came full of truth, right?
Yes.
Firm center full of grace, soft edges. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That's firm center. And then love your neighbor as yourself. That's the soft edges. Be wise as serpents, firm center. Be gentle as doves, soft edges. Like, always be prepared to defend the faith you have, firm center, but do so with gentleness and respect, soft edges. It's just like, it's all through Scripture of how we are called to live this way. It is the gospel life, and I think it is joy-giving, and it helps us live into the challenges of our day to be an antidote to so much which I see as wrong with our world, is that we're talking about each other more than to each other, that we're shouting across the street and not talking across a table, that we're building walls and not building bridges, and you never lead your enemies to Christ, you lead your friends to Christ. So the first thing you do is make your enemies your friends. Mm-hmm. And you do that through a sense of humility and kindness, and that's just, it's the Jesus model, and I think we often forget it.
Yeah. You know, that is such a great, quick understanding, the firm center, soft edges. It's amazingly simple way to understand, yes, the gospel and Jesus. My question to you next is, how do you practically convey and help students gain that perspective at Biola?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I think that's the question that we spend a lot of time thinking about at Biola. So here we are. At Biola, we are what we call a covenant university, that we expect our students from all different backgrounds and denominations and family systems to come here as a follower of Jesus. So that's kind of an expectation when students come here, that they're Christian, they made a commitment to follow Christ. And so this means that we have, as our sacred trust at Biola, 5,000-6,000 students, this rising generation of tomorrow's Christian lawyers and teachers and filmmakers and, movie producers and, business leaders, that this is who they are. So we spend a lot of time certainly on the firm center part here. We have, we have biblical integration through everything that we do. We have required courses that we have them live into and take as part of our curriculum here, minoring actually in biblical studies as students here. And our co-curriculum programs are coherent in that whole idea of how do we build up the sense of students knowing what is true and what is right and what is good and how should they form their faith and not just inherit their parents. But we also, encourage our students to live that out, not just with the person that doesn't look like them, vote like them, think like them, dress like them in the room next door, because this is what makes, this beautiful unity amidst our diversity, but how do they live that out here in Los Angeles, arguably the most globalized city in the world, and we have students in healthcare clinics in the city and working with kids of people living in Skid Row who are tutoring them and teaching art classes to disadvantaged, underserved kids. So I see that happening, and we tell stories about where it's working well, and we try to make that a contagion.
And making a contagion is something that is pursued, and I believe the Lord continues to honor that year after year, decade after decade. You talk about the 30 units of Bible, minoring in Bible, the grounding. Dr. Corey, when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about habits of the heart, character. Along those lines, maybe we just get to it when we come back from the break. Prayer. What does prayer have to do with that? The inner life. Dear friend, as you listen to Dr. Barry Corey, what about the Word of God in your life? What about prayer? Or how is your inner life, dear friend, dear brother or sister? How impactful might that be with further development? More from Dr. Barry Corey, biola.edu. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Dr. Barry Corey, president of Biola University, he's our guest today. He serves on the board of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, Museum of the Bible, the Association of Independent California Colleges and Universities. His father taught him a lesson. It was a lesson about a shoehorn. We'll hear him talk about that, but I'd like for him to share that in this context. Dr. Corey, if you can talk about the shoehorn and your father's lesson, but in the context of habits of the heart, forming character, and if you can weave in prayer, and what prayer has to do with that.
Yeah, a lot's packed into that that one question. Yeah, I think the shoehorn reference that you're making is just my father just saying, like, care for everything that you have. And
yes.
We had to keep a shoehorn, like, by our set of shoes, because he knew that if we put a shoehorn behind our heel when we put our foot in our shoe, that it would preserve that shoe for a long time. And, you know, he probably wasn't really thinking about the fact that when I was doing this as an 8- and 9-year-old, my foot was going to grow a lot faster than that shoe was going to wear out. but it didn't really matter so much for him. The principle was, like, take good care and steward well the things that that you are given, and I think that that ties in well to our calling as stewards of stewarding the gifts that God has given us, and not trying to pickpocket the gifts that other people have and say, I wish they were mine. But every one of us has a different set of gifts, and my gifts are not nearly as rich and complete in many ways, Lonnie, as yours, or Danny, as yours, and that's the beauty of how God gifts us, right? So how do we steward that well? And I think that's one of the things I'm trying to get at in this book on called Love Kindness, Make the Most of Your College Years. Not Love Kindness, but make the most of it. A Guide to Loving Your Years in College. I talk in there about, you know, sleep habits and study habits and, you know, managing your money and romantic relationships, just a lot of practical things. But I do spend quite a bit of time in there on how do you cultivate the inner life. In some ways, it's like the shoehorn, right? How do you steward well your own soul? And I make the point in there that we need more college students, not who are boring, but who are bored. And by bored, I mean that they just kind of stop engaging in some of their many distractions, which are ubiquitous these days, mm-hmm. right? And to just live into the space. I mean, when people ask me, like, how can I pray for you? I say, you pray for three things. One, wisdom beyond my mortal ability, favor with those, especially with those who don't necessarily want to have favor with me, and three, margin to develop the relationships that I need with my wife, with my kids, with my friendships, and certainly above all with Christ. So that's one of my pleas in this book, is for our students to adopt a healthy boredom, to be able to listen and nurture the deeper life in college by thinking about how they're growing and how they're maturing and how they're preparing for the life's long road ahead of them. And I tell them, listen, if you spend more time on your inner life, it'll make your outer life more beautiful. And to allow boredom in its most virtuous dimension to be to part of your life, it's a good thing. It'll help them be a better student as they linger with what they're reading or writing. It'll help them be a truer friend as they stand and listen all in and unplugged and not distracted because of a ding from a cell phone or a show that's playing in the background. How do you cultivate that all-in attentiveness in your relationship, certainly with God, but also with your friendships as well? And I know that certainly ties into the dimension of prayer. I mean, prayer is not part of multitasking, and I think multitasking is one of the great undoings of our lives. And I mean, you talk to me. I mean, if I go home, I can be like flipping through the mail and thinking about what happened today and trying to have a conversation with my wife Paula. And when that happens, it's not a healthy relationship that we're cultivating when I'm trying to have a conversation with her among other things. And I think that's what God is calling us to. Don't have a conversation with me among other things. Have a conversation with me and you read the Psalms and they're brutally honest prayers, and don't tell God what you think he wants you to say, but tell him what's on your heart and tell him what you're struggling with and have an honest conversation with God. And it's that you need to carve out the time for and have the margin to be able to do that. And I just see too often many of us, adults included, distracted by too many things that we don't have that carved out space that we need.
Dr. Corey, make the most of it. I would say it is a must read. It is a must read for anyone who has a son, a daughter, a nephew or niece, a grandchild that's heading off to college. If they're already in college, it's still not too late. But I also think, as I read it, the Lord spoke to me in so many ways, not only relating of days gone by, but of the wisdom that was shared that could be applied even today. I'm talking about the book, Make the Most of It, by Dr. Barry Corey. Make the Most of It, a guide to loving, to living your college years, or loving your college years, by Barry Corey. All right, Dr. Corey, one thing that touched me is your candor. I mean, you just share so freely about your life, your experiences. How did your Friday meetings with Merwin, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, Merwin, begin 20 years ago?
Yeah, thank you for asking. And yeah, you got it close. It's Merwin, my friend, that it's a good Welsh name. And I think we all need those that we can pray with on a regular basis. And I remember thinking about this when I was, you know, about 20 years ago, and I was having a kind of a conversation with my wife, thinking like, hey, it'd be good to have someone that I can pray with on a regular basis. And I remember thinking that, you know, I got to know this one guy. He's a bright guy. Went to Harvard and went to Boston College Law School, and maybe he and I could get together on a regular basis and pray. And I remember I was in a meeting with him and others when I was living in Boston, and at the end of the meeting, it kind of went late, and I thought, oh, I'll have to ask him another time. And I remember I was walking out the door of that meeting. He said, Barry, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure, what is it? And he said, do you have anybody that you pray with on a regular basis? I said, oh, that's so interesting you said that, because I was supposed to ask you that question. And that's how it began back in 2002. And you know, on Fridays, I mean, just did last Friday, it's 5:50 in the morning. We did it in person when I lived in Boston, came to California 14 years ago, and we've been doing it by phone ever since. And yeah, 5:15 last Friday, we had our hour together. You're praying with each other, encouraging each other, and just talking about life. And I think that's important for all of us. I think a great story in the book Make the Most of It about Myron's beginning at Harvard University, and just he tells a wonderful story there. If I had more time, I could, you know, it would take me a minute or two to read it, but it's a great story.
Well, and even Myron's openness and the way it comes across in the book of how he was challenged, right? Early on.
Right. I mean,
like, what was it? Like the first night, or one of those early days with his having to make a decision, right? About how he's going to live his life.
Yeah, he did.
And it was, maybe give us a synopsis on that.
Well, I'll just read this one section. This is, so Myron heads off to, you know, he gets to Harvard and he's 18 years old. And I mean, I've asked him about his life in college often, and he grew up in good Christian family, but his 4 years of living on campus were, you know, his faith was tested, sometimes severely, but it didn't shrink. And, you know, there are many Christians there, but he had professors that were, antagonistic to his faith, and they would not hide their words about that. And he said that as he began as a freshman, he was committed to deepening his faith in college, but he knew to do this, he needed to put his mind and heart into it, he would say. And here's what it says in the book. When he told me the key moment that came about, as you said, his very first night at Harvard, when some partying freshman came into his room when he was in bed, and this is what he says, that's when I really began to sweat. We had a bookshelf each, my roommate and I had shelved my library. Prominent titles included Josh McDowell's Evidence That Demands a Verdict, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, and The Real Motherlode, John White's Eros Defiled, An Exploration on Sexual Purity. What if they found my books? And then they did. Whose books are these? My roommate disavowed any ownership. Hey, look, a Bible. One of the other guys pulled it off the shelf and with a mock preacher voice began reading a random text. I have learned the secret of being content at any and every situation. There was some laughter. He continued, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Gradually, as he read, his tone changed back to his own voice. He slowed his reading and, with all the sarcasm gone, quietly finished with, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. He stopped reading, and there was silence in the room, an eternity of silence. Finally, one of the others said softly, well, I guess we should get going. And they all walked out, shutting the door behind them. At that moment, the Holy Spirit brought one verse to my mind, in the language of the King James Version, no less. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Bang, Joshua 24:15. Right out of the gate, God was putting the challenge down. That first night, lying wide awake in a Harvard bed, having just witnessed the power of Scripture to render a bunch of my alcohol-lubricated classmates silent, I replied that by His grace, I was going to serve Him. That's the story.
What a story. What a story. Dear one, you're listening to Barry Corey. Dr. Barry Corey is the president of Biola University. He's written a book published in 2020. And it's a book that I'd say is one that will lift you, inspire you, especially a young person who is in school, in college. Make the most of it. A Guide to Loving Your College Years. Find out more at biola.edu. It's on Amazon. And, well, as they say, wherever books are sold. When we come back in our final segment, more from Dr. Barry Corey. He often speaks with great tenderness and endearment of his father, the Reverend Hugh Corey. Well, one of his dad's quotes was this: "Choose not your friends for outward show, for feathers float where pearls lie low." Ha. Let that sink in. We'll be back with more from Dr. Barry Corey, biola.edu. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, that's right. You remember what I just read off. Choose not your friends for outward show, where feathers float, where pearls lie low. Reverend Hugh Corey, Dr. Barry Corey's father, a quote that he remembers from the days of his youth. Well, talk about learning and friends. Dr. Corey did something very, very unique with his students, not just students. I believe there were freshman students select that would come to the university, and he did something with them. Dr. Corey, take us back. What did you learn from students, freshmen, over the years, the ones that you took to Yosemite?
Right, yeah. I mean, I had came here to Biola in 2007, and, you know, we have thousands of students here, and just kept thinking, well, I wish I knew more about the dreams and aspirations of students and more about their own stories. And not just through a quick conversation, sitting next to them in the cafeteria or plopping down beside them in chapel or seeing them in the sidewalk or at a dinner or sitting near them at a volleyball game, whatever it might be. And so I brought a childhood friend who he and I were best men at each other's weddings and very close friends. He's a Canadian. And the second year I was here, 2008, I took 10 freshmen up to Yosemite. We did a pretty rigorous hike up there, and it was 2 nights away and 3 days. And these 10 guys that were on the trip with us, we just gave them each time, the better part of an hour, just to tell their story and what to each other and to us, and what have the challenges have been they've overcome, what are their dreams and aspirations, and what are they expecting out of their college years. And I thought, if I could just know these 10 that are representing this incoming class, then I can know the other 1,000 that are coming in as well. And I did this 7 or 8 years, had to stop that. We started doing some other things, but seven years, I think, in a row, we did this with different group of freshman guys each time. And I know that many of them have become lifelong friends out of that first weekend experience. But and I know they've expressed to me profound appreciation. But even more so, I have become a better president because I've been able to kind of get to know their stories real deeply. And I call that weekend "Life is Intense," and by that I mean we go camping, so it's I-N-T-E-N-T-S, and it's a bit of a reflection also on the patriarchs of old. It was Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebecca and Jacob and Rachel, and how it says in their story summarized in Hebrews, they lived their life in tents. And they did not know where they were going, but a little while later it says, but they knew what they were looking for, a city which has foundations, an architect and builder is God. And I just say, like, our life is intense. We don't always know where we're going, but it's okay so long as you know what you are looking for. And I said, life has lots of times when you don't know where you're going, where life is uncertain. And when we face these uncertainties, and here they are at the threshold of their college years and leaving the familiar behind and stepping into this new chapter of their life, I said, you have a lot of uncertainties before you. And our tendency is, when we're uncertain, to grasp for certainty. But I say certainty means you know what's going to come next, and we don't. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. We have an idea, but we don't really know. There is no certainty in that regard. But the antidote for us as Jesus followers to uncertainty is not to grasp for certainty, which means I know what's going to come next, but to live in confidence. And there's a world of difference between certainty and confidence. If certainty means I know what's going to come next, confidence comes from the Latin con with fides faith. That means I trust what's going to happen next because I live by faith. That's why Paul can say, be confident. Be con with fides faith of this one thing, who began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And so this is what happens on that Yosemite trip. We just talk about this great epic adventure we're on as followers of Jesus when we don't always know what's going to happen and we face these profound uncertainties, and we can do so not grasping for certainty but living in confidence. And that's what I get out of that weekend as well, because people think, well, you must have your act together. You're president of Bible University, and it's a great place, and this and that. But I have my own fears and insecurities and anxiousness about uncertainties, and I have to keep on coming back to the fact that I don't need to know exactly how things are going to turn out, but I'm going to trust God that he knows, and I can be confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in me is going to bring it to completion.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Corey, it's so refreshing to hear how invested, involved, committed you are to your students, starting as freshmen and probably even before that, as you pray for those that are coming or making the choice to come to your university. I'd love to ask you if you would pray now for many of our young high school graduates. We happen to be in that season, heading off to college. Would you pray for all of our youth heading out after the summer?
I will do that, and happy to do so. And I just a few minutes ago, I was with Gene, a first-generation student coming to Biola, film major, sharp young man, and I just think of Gene and the many like him and young ladies who are also heading off to college. And so, Lord, we do. We pray right now in Jesus' name that you would give wisdom and you would give favor and you would give margin to these students, that margin to develop their relationship with you and with others. I pray for those who are not so sure about where they're going to go, not really confident about how it's going to be paid for, maybe the first in their family to leave for college, or maybe the last in their family to leave for college, and making their parents empty nesters and all of the anxiousness that goes along with that for moms and dads and family members who have had these kids so close by, and there's a major disruption compounded by COVID and all of the nervousness that goes along with that. So, Lord, I pray that you, as Prince of Peace, would settle a deep peace upon these students and upon their parents and family members and friends as well, that you who began a good work in them, you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And that is a promise that they can bet their life on. So I pray that as they head out to college, that they would grow like you in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with each other. And I pray that as they look back on their college years, they would see these, as hard as they might be at times, to be some of the most fruitful seasons of their life. Protect them, anoint them by your Spirit, and give them the love of Christ, we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Corey, you have been an inspiration, a blessing from the Lord to us today. And Lonnie and I want to thank you for spending your precious time with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure. And God bless you in all that you do. And look forward to seeing you. I feel like I'm halfway between Boston and Hawaii right now. So I'm like,
you're right, bridging us.
Which way do I go, right?
Yeah, which way do I go? All right. Well, yeah. All the best to both of you. And thank you for having me on your program. It means a lot to me.
Uplifting words from Dr. Barry Corey, biola.edu. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, we believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got some presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with kindness. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. Barry Corey, biola.edu. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator Lonnie Ka'a, technical producer Chaz Ontai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.